Morning, His Tabernacle Family Church. How are we doing today? Good morning, His Tabernacle Family Church. How are we doing this morning? We'd love to invite you to come on up, fill the altar. If you're in your seats, come on up and just fill with us. Come on. And while you come on and clap. Sing this, sing. Good morning, everybody. How are we doing today? That's awesome. Well, welcome to His Tabernacle this morning. I'm Pastor Aaron, for those of you who don't know. Super quick announcements. December 19th, which is next Sunday, is our Christmas services. Our Christmas Sunday service is one of my favorites. We always have an awesome production done by Minister McKenzie and the production team. We have animals out front to pet, which are always really cool. And then this year, we have Santa coming, so we can take photos with Santa this year. So, you know, bring your list so you can tell Santa, get your picture taken. It's going to be a great day. Then, Christmas Eve at 6 p.m. We are having our Christmas Eve service. Before the service, we're having our first ever tree lighting ceremony. We're going to have a giant tree out front. We're going to light it up. We're going to come inside, worship Jesus, sing some Christmas carols. Again, one of my favorite services. If you can't tell, I love Christmas. Christmas is my favorite holiday right after my birthday. So come out and join us for that. And also, if you notice on this stage, we have a whole bunch of toys. This year, His Tabernacle is actually running and sponsoring Toys for Tots for Chemung County and Schuyler County. So these toys on this stage are going out to our community, to the kids in need. There's about, if I counted correctly, 2,000 kids so far that we will be helping give Christmas to in the next couple weeks. If you weren't able to bring a toy and you want to give cash, you can do that. Put an envelope, label Toys for Tots on that. We will go out and we'll buy presents for them. And if you have a toy, bring it up here and put it on the stage. And now, here's Pastor and Pastor Rhonda.
Praise the Lord. Isn't God good? What a great week. I can't wait to bless all these kids. I want to give God praise. The Harley-Davidson shop is also involved, and they're giving gifts. And so we've had a lot of businesses give money for gifts, so we have a lot going on. We want to thank God for Pastor Aaron, who grabbed this. It was late in the season, doing a phenomenal job. Amen? Praise the Lord. Pastor Rhonda, why don't you open us in prayer?
Awesome. Father, we just love you so much.
Yes, we do.
You are so good and so amazing. Everything
Hallelujah.
Good comes from
yes.
you. God, we just receive
bless your name, oh
the
God.
Goodness of you
yes.
right now in the name
release
of Jesus.
Your presence, Father,
as
in
we
house.
Enter into your presence,
yes.
as we enter into your courts with praise
yes.
and thanksgiving, God, we know that you're going to change
name.
Everything.
In
so right
Jesus
now,
name.
We run into your presence. We run into your courts. We can't wait
Hallelujah.
For Jesus to be worshiping
yes.
you and enter into your gates.
Yes.
With thanksgiving and your courts with praise.
Yes, God.
So right now, get ready. Get ready, get ready.
Yes.
Let's worship the Lord.
Amen. If you're watching my live stream, make sure you get out of your chair. Don't just stay in your couch. Don't just stay in your chair. Get up and let's worship together. Amen. Let's enjoy Jesus.
Has he been good? Sing this with me, say.
You've been so good. You've been so good. I thank you, Lord. I thank you. My heart is full. My heart is full. I love you, Lord. I love you.
You've been so good. You've been so good. I thank you, Lord. I thank you. My heart is full.
Say, my heart is full.
I love you, Lord.
See, you've been so good.
just to bow down before your throne. See your face, I'll cry out because you're holy, holy, holy are you, Lord. Sing, I can't wait for eternity. Join the song, they're already.
We'll be right back. like you, Jesus. You're holy,
holy, holy, holy, Lord.
We'll worship you forever.
Holy, 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 Lord.
Sing holy,
holy, holy, holy, Lord.
Come on, one more time.
Holy, 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 Lord.
We worship you, Jesus. Your presence is in this place.
Again, sing, I exalt you.
And I exalt thee.
Sing, I exalt thee.
I exalt thee.
Sing, I exalt you. Oh, oh, yeah.
I exalt thee.
Oh, my God. Oh, I.
Oh,
we lift our hands and sing that, say, I exalt you, Lord.
Your voices, shout it out, say, I exalt thee, and I exalt thee, I exalt thee, I exalt thee, oh Lord. Can we lift our hands?
Today we take the time and we glorify your name. Jesus, we want you to know beyond anything else that you are number one in our lives. God, we exalt you above ourselves. We will decrease, so you will increase. Jesus, your name will be lifted on high. And you said, God, if your name is lifted up, that you'll draw all men to yourself. So Jesus, today we make a conscious choice. We lay ourselves down and we pick you up. We lay ourselves down, and Lord, we declare that you are exalted in our life. You are exalted in our style. You are exalted in our time. To God be the glory. Great things he has done to you and you only, Jesus. We honor you and thank you for all your goodness in our life. In the name of Jesus. I said, in the name of Jesus. Amen. Just want to give a quick testimony. I had a lady come up to me on, I believe it was last Tuesday, Thursday, I missed my day, last Thursday, and she said that her husband had been diagnosed with stage 4 colon cancer. And the doctors, they were about going to be doing some stuff, and she came to church, we laid hands on him, and God moved, went back to the doctor, and the doctor said, there's not only not any a tumor, but there's nothing even to look at, I'll just check you next year. Isn't God good? Some people say they've never heard of a miracle. There are miracles in this house all the time. Amen. I love that God is still a miracle-working God and that he loves you. He's got great plans for your life. And turn to somebody and say, sickness and disease are not plans of God. So make sure you resist those. Can I hear an amen? We need to know how to stand. And after we've done all we can do to stand, we stand there for. God's got great things. I do want to give you a testimony real quick about Canada, if you don't mind. We just got notice. Pastor Phil got a call to go back to court Friday. He and his bride, actually it was he, Pastor Jamie, and the youth and the assistant pastor and his wife. And the judge, as you know, that judge full of the devil. That judge, we made it very plain, his only goal was 90 days in jail. So they asked him to recuse himself from the bench, and he refused. And so the church all over the world just started praying. And literally minutes before the court began, that judge recused his position, and another judge went in. And that judge said, just work with the health department. He had a little grace with them. And so Pastor Phil calls the health department the other day, and they said, the judge said, just find out, with the tent, how many walls can be down. And so we called the health department. Health department said, no walls, you can't even have a roof. So you can't have a tent. So this morning in Canada, they're having an outdoor church service. Thank God for good lawyers. Can I hear an amen? And the people of Canada, even some of the folks from this house, you sent money, and there's $100,000 that has been brought together to hire the greatest lawyers of Canada. And we've already placed a suit down against the province of New Brunswick of religious suppression, and I know we're going to win that one. The lawyers are very strong on that. But that's not going to just touch New Brunswick. That's going to go all across Canada. And we've laid a suit against the judge who put Pastor Phil in jail for 7 days solitary confinement when it wasn't even a criminal act. It was a, what do they call that? A civil case. So it was completely illegal. So glory to God. We're believing the judge is going to be paying for our new church building. Glory to Jesus. Another suit's going down for the health department for breaking the law. It's good to know that churches don't have to lay down and be like dead fish. We can fight. Amen. And thank God for the countries we live in, even in Canada. Thank God for Canada. Thank God for Canada. I had to say it because they might be watching. But we are blessed to live in this country. Many of you know we have a new mandate coming down tomorrow, and people have asked what we're doing. We're going to open up a red section in the back like we did the last time for those that are concerned and wear masks. I want you to know that we are not going to mandate masks. And whatever they do, they do. I don't believe they can do anything. We already won with the Supreme Court anyways once. But I want you to know that if you see somebody with a mask or without a mask, listen now. Listen, this is really, someone sent me a message this week. Pastor, I believe it's felt through the church that if you have vaccination, that you're less than. I want you to know, it don't matter whether you got a vaccination or not a vaccination, whether you wear a mask or no mask, we're still brothers and sisters in Christ, and that's all that matters. Heaven and hell have nothing to do with a vaccination or a mask. So you don't treat anybody different. I said you don't treat anybody different who's got a mask on. You don't treat anybody different because they are vaxxed or unvaxxed. We had some unvaxxed people get unvaxxed, and we had some vaxxed people get unvaxxed on the vaxxed, on the unvaxxed, something like that. But ultimately, I want you to know it is unacceptable in this house. I'm just going to say it clear. It's unacceptable in this house. What your personal posture is your choice. But you and I are not to make somebody else feel less than because of their choice not being yours. Say amen or oh my. Now listen, I'm the kind of guy, and if you've been here long enough, you know this. And if not, then I'm going to give you a great revelation. I don't mind telling people not to return. I've done it many times throughout the years. Some people just kind of disappear, and people say, where'd they go? I didn't say anything, but I did tell them to move on. You need a new church. Let me help you find one. Why? Well, because this house needs to be a place where anybody can walk in the door, no matter what their past is. No matter where they've come from, no matter whether they're wearing a mask or whether they've been unvaccinated or are vaccinated, I don't care. What matters is they've got to meet Jesus. That's what this house is about. That's what we're staying to, and we're not changing. Can I hear an amen? Turn to someone next to you and say, you're my brother, sister. I got to love you even if I don't like you. We love you. You may be seated this morning. Pastor Cody.
beautiful, Dustin. Is that little drummer boy? No. He said no, it wasn't. I trust him. What'd you say? It's an Imperial March. Oh, from Star Wars. I watched Star Wars one time, and it was in a van on the way to Maine, and had to sit in front of the two front seats on my knees for 12 hours because I had a seat, and my father, I don't know if you know him, gave my seat away to somebody else who wanted to come last minute. So I had to sit in between the two front seats on my knees for 12 hours, and I watched Star Wars, and now I think I have, like, trauma from Star Wars, so I could care less about it. Also, my father. Awesome. Well, hey, if you have your Bible, can you turn to Luke chapter 21 with me real quick? I'm going to read this section of scripture. Look, we're a church. We believe the Bible. We live the Bible. We do the Bible. It's really easy. Luke chapter 21, verse 1 through 4, it says this, "And he looked," Jesus, "and saw the rich putting in their gifts into the treasury, and he also saw a certain poor woman putting in two mites. So he said, 'Truly I say to you that this poor widow has put in more than all. For all of these out of their abundance have put an offering for God, but she out of her poverty put in all the livelihood that she had.'" You know, that didn't make sense to me because at the end of the day, they put in bundles and she put in two mites. So I looked it up, and it's really interesting. There were actually 13 offerings that you would give in the temple in this time. 9 of them were demanded, or 9 of them were a part of the tithe or the expected offering. And the last 4 were voluntary. It's actually really cool. They would bring them. They didn't make you sit in a seat and come around and pass a bucket. You would bring your offerings and you would place them in these trumpets, they were called. And it was really interesting because clearly she didn't give more in quantity, but according to scripture, she gave more in quality. And she gave what was expected and then maybe even more than what was expected. And I thought it was really interesting because there's one of two things. Either this woman gave her two mites to take care of everything that God expected her to take care of, which is what we would call the tithe, or she gave all of her expected offering and then the extra, which she didn't have to give, she decided it was better in God's hands than just sitting around. And I thought this was so interesting because I know many people, they'd look and say, well, my $3 tithe wouldn't do anything. My $30 tithe wouldn't do anything. That's not the case. It does everything because it's obedience. And then when we go above and beyond the obedience and we give that sacrificial, that extra offering, what it does is it moves God, it moves heaven, it puts us in a position of greater than. And how could God say that she gave more? Because God doesn't measure our offering simply on our amount. He measures it based upon our heart and our sacrifice. And isn't it the same that God did with his son Jesus? Measured it based upon heart and sacrifice to give his only son, and his son would give his life with joy. Hebrews says it was the joy that was set before him that he went to the cross. And as a church, I want to say thank you for being such an amazing body where maybe you give way more than two mites, but you give out of a place of a pure heart and out of sacrifice. Maybe it is, in your eyes, only two mites. Can I say thank you for being obedient to God? And I can't wait to see your two mites turn to 4 mites, to 6, to 10, to 20, to 40, to 80, and see you grow in the economics of God because of obedience. I love it. It's amazing to see that God's not a liar. And when we're obedient to Christ in every area, he responds in every area. Amen? This morning, we take a tithe and offering just like the Bible teaches. And just like they did in Jesus' time, we bring our offering as an offering to the Lord, to the altar. And this morning, you see, there's toys all over the place. We've partnered with Toys for Tots. There's about 3,000 children that need help with Christmas in Chemung County, and we get to help with that. Maybe you brought a toy. You can leave it here. Maybe you say, well, I want to help give towards that. Above my tithe and offering, there's a green envelope. You can do that. And then next week, we have Christmas. Anybody excited for Christmas? I love Christmas. I love gifts. I think Christmas is awesome. But we have no problem giving gifts to other people to show them how much we love. And I want to encourage you to give a gift to God to show them how much you love him. So next week, we're going to take a Merry Christmas, Happy Birthday Jesus offering. Merry Christmas, Happy Birthday Jesus offering. Next week, Sunday morning, and I would encourage you to grab one of those envelopes as you leave as well and pray about it. Whatever the Lord wants you to give above your tithes and offerings to bless him for blessing us. Amen? But what we do here, like I said, is we bring our tithes, we bring our offerings to the front, and we have a supernatural proclamation, which is found in the book of Deuteronomy, chapter 28. And this morning, Brother John Scarborough is going to lead us in our supernatural, he's looking at me like, you crazy, man, in our supernatural declaration. Will you put your hands together for Brother John as you fill out your envelope real quick? He's like, hurry up, tell me what it is. He got it. He's a great young man. He loves the Lord. He's single. No. Oh, he's not single. Oh, we got to talk. All right. Supernatural blessing. Come on, repeat with John.
If I obey, and then I'm blessed going in, and I'm blessed going out. I'm blessed in my storehouse, and I'm blessed in my basket. The blessings are chasing me down. They're tripping me up. Because I'm blessed. I'm blessed. Amen.
You guys can come and give your offerings to the Lord. You can bring your toys to the front. But we love you, and we're grateful you're here. And I'm going to give it to Pastor Spencer.
Online right now, you can give as well. Give right there where you are. You can go and you can text to give, or you can give, go to the website to give. All available just for you. Octave. Let's go up one octave and try it. Yeah, right now. We're going to go up an octave.
You mean a whole octave?
Yeah, a whole octave. Yeah, we need to feel it. We'll start with a key and then we'll go an octave.
Can you bring it up a key, please?
So let's start with a key.
At least three half steps. Play it.
Here we go. Don't run.
Play it, yeah.
Oh. Here we go.
I'm blessed going in. I'm blessed going in. I'm blessed going out. I'm blessed going out. I'm blessed in my storehouse. I'm blessed in my basket. If I obey.
We need to go higher. A little higher.
Take me up.
We need to feel it. It's too low. I almost felt depressed giving. It needs to be higher. Okay. You feel it in our bootstraps. I guess that's one of the joys of pastoring is you can torture the worship team. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. I'm excited to be here. We were with Pastor Chad last week. Pastor Chad and Pastor Jade made it home this week. Glory to God. Woo! From Canada. From South Africa. And so they're very glad to be home. Great things, huge changes in Ithaca. If you've never been to visit, I'd encourage you to go visit Ithaca campus just to check it out and see what's going on. Not that we want you to go there, we want you to come here. But little competition, but nothing more. Son and daddy. But it's really cool. They laid down the new altar area this week, and it's just been really neat watching the transition. They raised, in a church of 200, $320,000 above tithes and offerings, and the entire project is paid for. Can you believe that? Entire project is paid for. And they're already positioned. Pastor Chad is such a great leader. They're already positioned to be able to purchase that building for $4 million, and it's worth $6 million. And so in the next probably 4 years, they're going to be purchasing the building up in Ithaca, and then we're just going to expand it all the way out. But I'm believing God for 1,000 people in Ithaca at that campus. Can I hear an amen? We've been, this is the year that's been changing forward. How many of you changed? How many of you need to be changed? I'm just kidding. Some people change forward. Some people change backwards. Some people change sideways. The question is how have you changed? We all have to really confront that because there are seasons and times in God. Do you know there are folks that will miss the move of God, which is very sad. The people that miss the move of God is those that don't pay attention to the time and the seasons that the Lord has set in order. You know, when you start looking at the year 21, God gave us the theme of change forward. The reason for that is because many of us have been where we were for so long, it was time to maturate. It was time to develop. It was time to grow up in Christ. Can you look at the person next to you and say, it's time to grow up. Now, you don't be mean now. Tell somebody else, grow up, please. Wives always love saying that to their husbands. I don't know why. But as we grow up, we're going to move forward because God's got greatness for you. Turn to someone and say, God's got greatness for you. Not goodness, but God has greatness for you. So this whole year, we've been focusing on messages, line upon line, precept upon precept, faith to faith, glory to glory, how to grow up in Christ, how to become changed by the power of God, how to be used through the change so that God can manifest his love and power through your life. But today, we're getting close, man. We literally only have this Sunday and the Sunday after Christmas, and this year's done. 2021 is completed. Isn't that crazy? It is crazy to realize how fast this year has sped by. But when we look at it in this last few sermons, I want to confront us with something to bring us all the way back to the beginning about the most important principles of you and I knowing and changing. Changing is not about just changing personality or changing what we do. It's not because we're trying to become a better person, but the reason we change is because we want to know God. You see, the more you know Christ, the more you'll change, and you don't even have to work at it. Amen. What happens is when we're just trying to change our behavior, well, then we'll slide back into behavior. But when we change in our understanding of who God is and what God's plan is for our lives, then literally that transformation moves us forward to become more like Christ. A lot of folks are not like Christ, not because Christ doesn't love them, not because they don't have the power to accomplish it, but because they simply do not want to submit to God and know God, and that literally is the change forward, is knowing God. Not just knowing about God, but knowing God. There's a difference between somebody that knows about God and someone that knows God. There is an intimacy level that can cannot be faked. There is a growth process that cannot be manufactured. It is not step one and step two, but through our understanding of God, through our maturity in Christ, through our love to God, we literally change from the inside out. Can I hear an amen? So God is calling us to change. Turn to somebody and say, you got to change. Tell somebody else you got to change. Tell somebody else you got to change. Tell yourself, I got to change. Our verse for the year has been Isaiah 43, verse 19, and it says this. Listen carefully. I'm about to do a new thing. Now it will spring forth. Will you not be aware of it? I will even put a road in the wilderness and rivers in the desert. Not too long ago, somebody said to me, Pastor, it almost sounds like you repeat your sermons a little bit. Well, today I got something for you. I've never preached anything close to this. I've never preached about Mary before, but we are 1 week away from our Christmas celebration. And today I'm going to preach about Mary. How do you like that? Mary, poor Mary. Let's be real about Mary. We've got a whole denomination and a group of people that literally believe that she is next to Christ. That literally, somebody was saying not too long ago that there is a location where actually they have Mary nailed to the cross next to Jesus. I want you to know that Mary is a phenomenal woman, but she is not like Christ. Amen. Can I hear an amen? You can't pray to Mary. Mary's not interceding for you. Now, the problem, though, is we have them that have gone to that direction and extreme. But then we have the Pentecostals. They go to the other extreme. We don't talk about Mary at all. Mary's an amazing woman. I said Mary was an amazing woman. The Bible says in Luke chapter 1, verse 35, and the angel answered Mary and said, the Holy Spirit will come upon you, and the power of the Most High will overshadow you. Therefore, the child to be born will be called holy. The Son of God. It is amazing when you start looking at who Mary was. You know, she was not this like fancy lady that with big bucks in her pocket. In fact, Mary was probably no more than 13 or 14 years old. Most people don't realize that, but in those days, when you hit 16, you were an old maid. At 13 and 14 years old is when they were usually married, and we know that she was betrothed. Does everybody know what that means in these days? That means she was engaged. Mary was engaged to a young man named Joseph, and they were both from a small town and really an insignificant town, a town that really nobody talked about and really didn't hold a lot of position in the region. But she was born as a Jewish young lady in a regular working blue-collar home, and she was just this young lady that God, listen now, this is the powerful part, that God had chosen and given favor to. I want you to know that there are many people in the body of Christ who believe that God will never be able to use them, that they are not important, that they are insignificant. But Mary is a powerful example. If God will use a young lady from a little town that nobody knew about, that her parents were not people of great prosperity, that her soon-to-be husband was no more than just a mason by trade. But God said, I found favor. He said, I want that young lady to do the greatest thing that this earth has ever seen. I want her to carry the Son of God. You see, today I don't know what your thoughts are about yourself, but I do know this, that if God will use a young lady from that small little town that seems to be insignificant, that the one that she carried wants to carry you into a new place in your life, that Son of God who was birthed by this young woman, that man of God who died on the cross and rose from the dead, that same God has a plan for you, and you got to get out of your head what other people have said. You are significant. You are important, and God has a dynamic plan for your life. The Bible says in Luke chapter 1, verse 30, that Mary found favor with the Lord. Now listen now, every woman from all over the planet, this girl found favor with God. The word favor there means she was graced with the ability to accomplish what God had. Now, you got to think about the mind of God here. The mind of God, it had to be in the lineage so that it would fulfill the prophecy. But then God had to think beyond that and think not just that she would carry the Son of God, she would carry the Messiah, but also she would have to raise the Messiah. Man, what a powerful reality to know that God chose this girl. What I thought was so powerful to me was not just that God chose her, but that she literally carried the Christ. Literally, the Son of God was brought inside of her womb by the Holy Ghost. Literally, the seed of heaven was released. The very first prophetic word, Genesis chapter 3, verse 15, that he will bruise the head of the serpent. That means the plan of God did not start because Adam and Eve fell. God had a plan to redeem us back because he is from everlasting to everlasting. And here the seed of heaven, the one that he called his son, for God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son that whosoever believed in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. That seed would be planted within this little virgin girl that nobody had ever heard about, and that she would literally carry the Messiah. Now, you know, I've never been pregnant. I do look pregnant at times. I've never been pregnant. I can, if you would like, I can make you feel the baby kick, but I've never been pregnant. But it's so interesting talking to pregnant ladies. Now, my wife, I remember when she was giving birth to Cody, right? So here we are. She said to me, if I hold my breath, blow in my face. I guess that if you hold your breath when you're having a contraction, it's more painful. So she's holding her breath, and I went, and she, don't you ever do that again. And in run the nurses. I said, I didn't do it. But I remember when she started carrying the child. I remember as the child was growing within. I remember as Cody was pushing here and pushing there, and he'd have back pain, and she'd look at me and she'd go, I gotta pee. He's sitting on my bladder. All women said, all men who don't have a clue said, whatever my wife says is true. Amen. She literally housed the Savior. She carried the one who was going to change the world. She carried the one who would wash away the sins. She carried the one that would restore what Adam and Eve lost. She carried the literal Christ within her belly. And Christ grew and matured and was birthed. And I want you to know something. You and I are far more like Mary than we'd ever want to meet, especially the men are going, my name's not Mary. But you and I are so much like what Mary experienced. And this is when I was reading this, just jumped out at me. I said, wow, God, we literally are carrying the Christ just like Mary did. We are so different. For those who call upon the name of the Lord, they shall be saved. The Bible says that when you become saved in 1 Corinthians chapter 6, that you become the temple of the Holy Spirit. That literally, not figuratively, you become possessed by the Spirit of God. That you literally house heaven within your physical fleshly man. That God, by his Spirit, now you are embodying the Christ. You literally are carrying heaven inside of you. When we recognize this, there's a difference. I remember my wife talking to the babies. Hi, how are you? She'd pet her stomach and she'd rub her stomach and talk to the baby. And I'd walk up and go, hey, how are you? I just did that last week to one of the ladies in the church. She's pregnant. She'd walk around and go, hi. And you know, I got a true fact for you. The children that had been born in this church, like they went through gestation in this church, those children can sleep through my sermons. You want to know why? They know my voice. But the children who have not cry. That's why we have a nursery. Glory to God. Why? Because when a child is in the womb, they're participating, come on now, they're participating with everything that the one who is carrying them does. That's why they say you should not smoke when you're pregnant. That's why they say you should not do drugs when you are pregnant. You should not be doing drugs anyways, but you should not be doing drugs. There are many children that are born with an addiction to a drug. Well, why? Well, because when the mother was carrying the child, when the mother was housing the child, that child literally is participating with every process that the mother is doing. Isn't it amazing as sons and daughters, as people who house and literally, we literally have Christ dwelling inside of us, we will do things, listen now, if a person or crack addict was sitting there and doing crack with pregnancy, you would not be going, yay. You'd look at them and say, what are you doing? What are you doing? Why are you doing that? You know you're gonna cause damage to that child. But yet as sons and daughters of God, we'll go to the bar with Christ living inside of us. Come on now. We'll go get drunk with Christ living inside of us. We'll sleep with someone we're not married with and expect Christ to lay with us. Come on, say amen or oh my. Because there is an intimacy between the two that cannot be broken because they are one. The intimacy between the mother and the baby is something that a father cannot have. Because we were not there, we were not carrying, we were not sharing that portion. But as a believer, as a son and daughter of God, there is an intimacy that as we carry the Christ that we have that people who don't know Christ cannot even understand. And as we carry the Christ, we've got to make sure that we're not taking him in places that we shouldn't be taking him. Can I hear an amen or oh my? Because wherever you go, if you're born again, you're taking Jesus with. One day I was in Walmart. I love Walmart. I was in Walmart and I had to go pee. So I'm in the bathroom and I go pee, wash my hands. Wash my hands. Come out. I come out and all of a sudden there's a woman with a cart. She's going into the woman's bathroom. And she has like a three to four-year-old child, and she starts effing off this three-year-old child. And she's not doing it quietly. You're stupid, you little... And you know, that's near the front of the store where everybody's checking out. And everybody stopped. And everybody's staring at that mother. Like, wow, what are you doing? I can't believe you're treating the child like that. But yet many times as believers, you'll drop the F-bomb all over the place. Come on now. You'll act the way you want to act. You'll do what you want to do. Yet you're housing the Savior. You're housing the Messiah. You're housing the King of Kings. And whether you like it or not, there's an intimacy that you cannot break right there because he's living inside of you. You are the temple of the Holy Ghost. That's why we're called to be holy, not by suggestion, but by demand. Are you all right? You with me now? So there is something powerful about carrying. When you carry, it doesn't mean you always understand. Somebody said to me once, well, I'm trying to get ready to have a child. You can never be ready to have a child. Say amen. You can never be ready. You'll never prepare yourself enough to have a baby. Because once they come, you go, oh, Jesus, what did I get myself into? Amen. Especially if they don't sleep all night long. Especially that first sound. Especially that first regurgitation where you're holding the baby above your head and it goes into your mouth. There is no preparation that truly can be brought. And really, there are no manuals. Dear Lord, how am I going to get this kid from here to there? But you see what's so powerful about this is what I love about Mary is the Bible says that she didn't know either. Come on now. She's 13 or 14 years old. She's now carrying the Christ. She's carrying the Savior of the world. She's, come on now, she's pregnant before she's supposed to be pregnant. She's a virgin. Try to convince somebody you're a virgin when you're pregnant. Especially your engaged man. Now, understanding Jewish law is very important when it comes to this, because there was a three-step process for someone to get married. First of all, they got the parents usually assigned them that they would be married. Then they had a one-year engagement where they were married, considered married, yet engaged, but could have no sexual contact. And that was the process that Mary and Joseph were in. They were considered married, and the only way they could get unengaged was to get a bill of divorcement. So here Joseph is. You can imagine now all of a sudden his girl's pregnant, and she's saying, the Holy Ghost did it. Yeah, you got that same laugh. And I don't know if Joseph was chuckling. Yeah, come on now. I know it was me. And thank God for the angel. Can I hear an amen? See, God will always make a way. And even though we don't know what we're doing, like I said, I love Mary. I want to read some verses for you. Luke chapter 2, verse 19. Remember when the shepherds came and they had that interaction with the angels, and the angel said, you know, the Son of God's been born down there in a manger. And they're sharing all this when they get down to the manger. And this is what it says about Mary. Mary, verse 2:19. Mary treasured up the words of the shepherds and pondered them, which means she didn't know what she was doing either. She had no clue what was really going on. She had no clear understanding. And many times, there are many folks that as you're carrying the Christ, instead of stepping out by faith, walking by faith instead of by sight, you are so afraid because you don't know where you're going. You don't know exactly what you're doing. But Christ says this, if you follow me, come on now, I'll make you fishers of men. Jesus said, walk by faith and not by sight. Man, there are times, and this is why church is so important. This is why getting into the Word of God is so important, because there are sayings that you will ponder, that the Spirit will unveil and reveal, so that you will have an understanding of the next step you're supposed to take. But if the devil can keep you ignorant, then you're always going to be lost. And I don't care how many years you've been saved, there's still a lot to ponder. Say amen. Amen. Last night, you know, I was sitting down and I was watching Creflo Dollar. And he said something, and I said to myself, self, you're guilty. What he was preaching about, man, I was right on there. It was like me. He was talking about the power of words. Even how the word is formed and released produces a harvest. And he said, you got to watch your words. You got to watch what you say. You can't just let your mind do whatever it wants to do. And literally right there, I was pondering. And when I got up this morning, I was still pondering the message. You know I'm still pondering it because I'm talking about it in this message. The pondering to where now I had to, and I looked at my wife and I said, I hope you don't mind, but I'm going to pray. I want to pray with you. And I want to repent about some of the things that I've said and some of the things that I've thought. Remember, we've been through a battle now for 2 years, and you got to watch the words that come out of your mouth, because the words are seed, and seed produces a harvest. And so even though I've been saved for many years, even though I've been pastoring for 33 years, there are still things that come to me that I go just like this. And Mary treasured up those things in her heart. Man, she carried them. She pondered them. And then God led her. I want you to know something. You are carrying the Son of God because you are born again. And no matter where you are, we've got to have the Holy Ghost lead us. But he can't lead us if we're not going to listen. And if we don't listen, then we cannot ponder. If we cannot ponder, then we cannot grow. We've got to maturate. We've got to mature. We've got to change forward. We've got to be like Mary. Even though I don't know what's going on, I'm just this little kid. God's got a plan that's greater than I could be. I want you to know today that God's got a plan for your life that's greater than you could ever even conceive. Greater than you could even imagine. Well, I'm too old. I'm too young. Man, if you're breathing, it's not over. God's got greatness for you, but you and I have got to be willing to not just house the Messiah, but grow with the Messiah. You know what's really cool too? Mary was not only carrying the Messiah, she was also carrying the Word. Remember what the Bible says, Jesus, he's what? John 1:14, and the Word became flesh and dwelt among us, and we have seen his glory, glory as the only Son from the Father, full of grace and truth. When Mary was carrying Jesus, she was literally carrying the Word to the world. No greater call. No greater responsibility, because the Bible says that the Word, Jesus said it himself. He said, the words that I speak, they are pneuma, spirit, and they are zoe, life, the God kind of life. Nobody can know the God kind of life unless the Word is delivered. If Mary had kept the Word, come on now, if Mary had kept the Word in the womb, we would never have had a Messiah. So many believers are keeping the Word in the womb. We are not delivering the Word. We are not sharing the Word. Let me ask you a quick question. When was the last time you shared your faith with somebody? When was the last time you shared Jesus, the Son of God? When was the last time you shared the good news of Jesus with anybody? You see, you and I must deliver the Word. Mary, yes, she carried Christ, but there came a day that she delivered Christ. And Christ came into the world and transformed the world. There comes a time that Christ, the Word of God, who dwells in you richly, that this Word must be delivered, this Word must be matured, this Word must be activated, this Word must be released. The world needs the Word of God. I didn't say church. I didn't say religion. They need the living, breathing Word of God. Ah, we know the verse I quoted all the time. Hebrews chapter 4, verse 12. For the Word of God is quick and powerful. And come on now, what? And sharper than any what? Two-edged sword, piercing to the dividing of the soul and the spirit and the bone and the marrow, is a discerner of the thoughts and the intents of the heart. The Word of God is alive. But there's a difference between life that is in the womb and life that is delivered. When it is delivered, it moves on its own, not just constrained. We've got to allow the Word of God to be released in our lives like Mary did. When the Word got delivered, then the Word started changing the world. When the Word was delivered, oh, I love what Psalms 107 says. I sent his Word to heal you. Jesus came to heal. Jesus came to save. Jesus came to deliver. Jesus came to give authority. Jesus came to restore that relationship with God. Jesus came. The Word came. And you and I have the Bible, the Word of God, not some biblios book, not some book that we place on the shelf, not some religious text, but this literally is the living, breathing Word of God that was delivered through Mary and Jesus Christ, the Son of God, today is alive in us, and the Word that we speak is either life and or death. Every seed, Jesus is the seed. Every seed must produce fruit. And Mary, thank God, man. The seed she had was the seed from the Holy Ghost. Jesus, all God, all man in the same body, yet he gave up all of his heavenly power to become down here and to live as a normal man so that he could show us that he was a high priest who understood all the things that we went through. I just quoted three different verses for you. Jesus did all that, and he was the seed of God. Thank God that the seed, the Word, was planted. You see, the Bible says in Matthew chapter 13 that the Word is seed. So Mary carried not only the Messiah, but she carried the Word of God. And when the delivery came, the Word changed the world. And today, you and I are called to change the world, not with our opinions. Say amen. Not with our philosophies. Can I hear an amen? but with the word of God that is quick and powerful and sharper than any two-edged sword. That the word of God will come alive, transform, and yield its fruit. And the fruit of the word of God is that people are going to be saved. The fruit from the word of God, people are going to be healed. Like that man with stage 4 prostate cancer, when he went back to his doctor, he had to give God glory, and the doctor had to say something, because that does not happen on its own. God is able to do abundantly above all we could even ask or imagine. That's the word, by the way. And then the last, Mary, she powerful. She was carrying miracles. You think about that. If Christ was not born, there wouldn't be a miracle. If Jesus had not been born, then blind Bartimaeus would still be blind. If Jesus had remained in the womb, then the man at Nain would not have been raised from the dead. Mary carried miracles. Mary carried the miracle worker. And when she gave birth, come on now, you even know the very first miracle. I love this one. Changing the water into wine. They're at a party, for goodness sakes. They're at a wedding party, and they ran out of wine. So what ends up happening? Well, Mary walks up to her son because she finally started getting, come on now, she had pondered long enough. She had figured long enough. I got this thing. He is the Son of God. He is all powerful. There's nothing he can do. Oh, by the way, son, we need some more wine. Oh, woman, this is before my time. Listen, guys. Always listen to your mama. Listen, guys. Whatever he tells you to do, do it. They went and they gathered, just like Jesus said, all the urns, and they brought it in, and cisterns, and they brought it in and with water in them, and Jesus made the best wine, went up to the wine guy, and the wine guy said, I don't understand. You made the best last. Usually they make it first. I don't understand why you did that, because Jesus don't make junk. And the miracle worker, when he is delivered, miracles will be delivered through your life, because the miracle worker resides inside of you. You're not some just Christianette walking by. The miracle worker resides in you, and he's waiting for you to birth. He's waiting for you to birth miracles. Bible says very clearly, lay hands on the sick and they shall recover. The Bible says, these signs shall follow them that believe. They shall cast out devils. They shall speak with new tongues. If they touch any deadly thing, it shall not harm them. And when they lay hands on the sick, they shall recover. I want you to know there are miracles in your hands. There are devils that are frightened of you. But until you start delivering the Messiah, until you start delivering the word, until you start delivering the miracle worker, then all you do is you just carry him around inside of you. And nobody else gets a benefit. You know, Julian is really funny. He's my grandson. Now, you know, I'm not really a baby guy. I really didn't even hold my own children until they were 2. I pet them on the head a little bit. But man, Julian, dude, man, he is just so fun. So my wife and I bought Sophia for her birthday an ATV, a little, you know, kitty ATV. And, you know, she's out there. She's doing donuts with that thing already. It's like, oh, come on now. Well, Julian decided, it's Julian got on the ATV. I got video to prove it. And the kid's got no fear. Cody's grab it. He's got a hold of the back portion, and he's picking it up because the kid's trying to peel out all over the place. And then Cody decides, when the kid is aiming at me, decides to let go of the back. And here's Julian. No, I got a picture to prove that. He's got fear in his, I mean, I got fear in my eyes. He's got fierce in his eyes. But you see, if he was never delivered and he never grew, I would never have had fun with him the other day. Man, you want to have more fun with Jesus? You got to deliver him. Which means you got to give him to somebody else. Which means you got to share the love. Come on now. This is Christmas. I said, you can get the biggest Christmas present you want under the tree. You can have a 10-foot tree in your house, and it can gleam and it can glow, and you can even have fake snow. It can smell good or smell nothing. But one thing I know, one day you're going to put that thing away. You're going to stuff it out. If it's new, if it's real, you're going to shove it out the door, and the needles are all going to fall off. But there's something you can give somebody that is inside of you, that you are carrying, that is all-powerful, that is the Word of God, that is a miracle worker. His name is Jesus Christ, the Son of the living God. And you and I house the Messiah. We have the hope of glory dwelling inside of us. We need to deliver. That was just a horrible word picture, wasn't it? When was the last time anybody received Christmas from you? When was the last time you shared Jesus with somebody?
Well, you know, Pastor, I'm busy.
What is this, man? Can you imagine if Mary said to Gabriel, hey, dude, I'm 14 years old. Bug off. What's really powerful is that when you genuinely have Christ, come on now, some of the changes that happen are things you can't change. When you get into the presence of somebody that's sick and all of a sudden the Holy Ghost says you got to pray for them, I can prove it to you. When a woman gets in the room to deliver and she says, I don't want to do this, it's too late. And it should be too late if the baby's alive and kicking, if Christ is alive in you, if Christ is moving in you, if you are growing in your relationship with Jesus, if you are intimately involved with the King of Kings and Lord of Lords, when it comes time to deliver, you're not going to be able to say, nope, I'm good. So are you full of Christ? Or what are you full of? Are you carrying Jesus? Or what are you carrying? Because religion won't get you to heaven. Can I hear an amen? But when you got a hold of Jesus, you got to start delivering miracles. Blind eyes, deaf ears. Pastor, I'm not a preacher. He never said preacher. He said us who carry the Messiah are the hope of the world. We are the salt and we are the light. And without us, they've got nothing. That's the only reason the Antichrist has not been able to do what he wanted to do on this planet is because of you. My question, because next week is Christmas Sunday, have you invited anybody to Christmas Sunday yet? Boy, that got real quiet. You can groan at least, groan a little. But Pastor, everybody I know is a Christian. You know, if you got a real pregnant woman, no one sits back and wonders if she's pregnant. There is a cradle that they walk with their legs. I only made it, I did have a mistake one time, and I was down in Tennessee and I had a prayer line and there was a woman there and I walked up and I said, I'd like to pray for you and your baby. And she said, I'm not pregnant. I only made that mistake once. Glory to God. But if you're really pregnant, I'm talking like really, really, really pregnant, no one's going to question it. They just know you're pregnant. If you're a Christian, no one should have to question it. They just know you're pregnant. Then you got to release what you got. Because they can't enjoy the baby unless the messenger is sent, and that's you. Amen? Can I ask you to do me a favor? Statistically, 83% of people will come if you ask them. Which means if you ask 10 people, 8 of them would be willing to come. That means that the majority of Christians are asking nobody to come to the house of God. We're pregnant, but we're keeping the baby to ourselves. And I want to challenge you this week. I want to challenge you to invite at least 3 people to the house of God next Sunday. Why? Because we're going to have a gospel message that when they hear it, they're going to have to choose between Christ or not Christ. How will they know, the Bible says, unless somebody is sent? You need to go get them. How many will commit to at least invite three folks to church next Sunday? At least 5 of you. Glory to God. Can I get any? But don't raise your hand unless you mean it, because, you know, you're not making a commitment to me. You're making a commitment to God. 3 folks. What do I do? Go to Walmart. Somebody's going to be there. Go to Target if you're too good for Walmart. Grab a Starbucks. I guess you can't drink it this week. You have a mask on. And ask the Holy Spirit, who do you want me to go to? I'm going to tell you now, the Spirit of God is waiting to release to you people who you will bring into the kingdom and you will share the Messiah with, and God will use your life to change others. And I want you to know right now, there's nothing more exciting than God using you to change other people. So today, I just want you to get this real revelation that you are housing, literally carrying Christ. Don't just take him anywhere. Don't just do anything. Birth him this week so that other people can be changed by the love that changed you. Amen. Bow your heads with me this morning. Jesus, we thank you so much that you love us. Thank you, God, for Mary. Thank you that she was a great example. Jesus, thank you that she raised you right. Thank you, Jesus, that she loved you right. We thank you for Mary. God, thank you that just like Mary, she housed you, and you are living inside of us. We house the Messiah. Jesus, this Christmas season, I pray, in this changing forward, that we'll become more bold than we've ever been before, that we'll become more delivering than we've ever been before, that we'll care about people more than we ever had before, that we'll love people more than we've ever loved before. Jesus, that we'll be willing to share you. God, lay hands on sick people and see them recover no matter where we are. Share the word, and your word will not return void. Jesus, I thank you for your church. The gates of hell shall not prevail. God, I declare in the name of Jesus, the Christ of Christmas will erupt in this house and in the house of the people that you live inside of and possess. And I declare that this week will be a week of great harvest, for the seed of heaven is being birthed in this house today. And I declare salvation more than we've ever seen before. Forgive us, Jesus, for keeping you entombed inside of us and not sharing you with the world. And today we declare in Jesus' name that we will be faithful servants of heaven, and we will not be ashamed of the gospel of Christ. It is the power of God unto salvation. With your heads bowed and your eyes closed, if you do not know Jesus Christ as your personal Savior, I'm not asking you to join a church. I'm not asking you to join a religion. But I want you to know. I want you to house him. I want you to have a relationship with him. I want you to realize how great he has a life for you. But you can't have the life You can't have the life without the seed. You've had the seed this morning. I've been preaching to you this morning. Been preaching to you online this morning. You got enough word in you. You got enough faith in you right now to be saved. If you don't know Jesus as your Savior, I want to lead you to Jesus and start a revolution in your life that will transform the people around you. Today, if you're not right with God, you need to get right with Jesus. Today, if you've never accepted Him as your Savior before, I'd like you to slide your hand up this morning. Is there anyone in the room that wants to get their heart right with the Lord? I'm not going to wait real long. Five, come on, four. Get your hand up. Three, two, last call, and one. Let's all stand to our feet. God, I thank you that you have a church that's ready. God, we lay ourselves on the altar as living sacrifices and declare this week that Jesus, live through us. Oh God, bring great salvation no matter where we are. And let your anointing be so strong that Jesus' people will be drawn to us, magnetized to us for your glory. In the name of Jesus. And everybody said, amen. I love you. Thank you so much. Enjoy your week. Don't forget, invite at least three folks to the house of God next week. And make sure you bring them. Pick them up. Bring them to the house of the Lord. Let their lives be changed by Christ.